What's up, everybody? Howie Spangler here. How you feeling? Make sure you hit that subscribe button, please. And yeah, anyway, hope everybody's doing well. It's Tuesday, January 25th at the time of this recording. This is episode number 149, Tales from the Green Room podcast. Thanks everybody for tuning into the Just Chatting stream last night on the YouTubes. I'm trying to figure out my stream schedule. I want to stream at least twice a week, maybe three, between YouTube and Twitch. And as of right now, I'm streaming every Wednesday night for Let's Hang Out, and that's like the show where, you know, you send in song requests and, you know, we sing along, bullshit, whatever. It usually goes about 2 hours every Wednesday night. And then I've been trying to figure out my Just Chatting stream. Like, I just want to like kick back and just talk about what's going on, interact with the chat, you know. I don't know, I like how streaming is evolving, you know, because it was like all video games and stuff with Twitch. And then you start seeing a lot more people doing just, you know, in the just chatting category, where they're just bullshitting with their audience, you know, and it could be one person, no people, or, you know, 100 people watching. But I've gotten like really interested in it, and I just look at it as like another component to the music, you know, the brand, dare I say it. You know, another way to communicate and just interact with, you know, the audience, and anybody that wants to be there can be there. No pressure. And I love the monetization part of it. I try not to harp on that too much, but it is cool because it's like another form of revenue that I can put back into the business, upgrading cameras and getting some more RGB lights, things like that. And it seems like you guys are really enjoying it, so I appreciate y'all tuning in. But anyway, yes, I'm trying to figure out what the schedule is going to be. I just have such a kind of, I have like a sporadic schedule because of the family life, you know, and the touring, and it's a little hard to balance at times. I wish I could, you know, if I didn't have so much going on, like the kids have activities and, you know, weekends are like off. I can't really do anything on the weekends. It's like family time, you know, and getting things done. But like Monday to Thursday is like my time to really get in and, you know, do the podcast episodes, do the live streams, work on music, you know, writing songs, doing the business stuff, you know, and working on other bands like mixes and production, things like that. But yeah, the streaming has really piqued my interest. I've been really enjoying it. So, and I want to do different things, you know. I like the Wednesday nights is cool. It's great because I get to sing and do all that. Sometimes I just want to hang out and just chill, you know. And this really enables me to do that. So pretty cool. Thanks everybody tuning in to the Twitch channel for the video game streams. That's been playing Zelda, Link's Awakening lately, and I'll get like 3-4 people watching, you know, and they're having a good time. I got 6 subs right now on Twitch. So anyway, great show this Saturday. We had a good time at Zen West in Baltimore. Thanks everybody came out to that. We sold it out, and the recap video is going up today or sometime this week. Thanks to Gingy Productions for coming out and shooting that for us. The two shows this weekend have been rescheduled or are being rescheduled. Apologize for that. You guys know why. Can't wait till we're past all this shit, man. I'm freezing in my basement, by the way. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you can see I'm wearing a hoodie. And it gets cold down here in the winter. So, yeah, I'm bummed that we can't do those shows this weekend, but we'll get them back. You know, no big deal. I'm sure tickets will be honored. The next thing we got going on is the tour with The Movement and Little Stranger. That's happening in February. So I believe February 9th is the first day. It's kicking it off in Cleveland. And then we'll come back to D.C., do 930 Club. I think we go up to the Northeast, I think. But yeah, check out the dates at ballyhoorocks.com/tour. And grab tickets. If you're thinking about going, get tickets now. Because, you know, I have a feeling it's gonna fly. So and then we're just working on, you know, more dates, more weekend stuff throughout the spring. We have a tour in the Southeast. It's coming together in April, and we're working on the lineup right now, kind of centered around the Tortuga Festival that we're doing, and that Reggae at the Rock in Daytona Beach. So we're building a tour around that, and then working on stuff for summer. And there will be like a 3-week run out to Colorado and back, as far as I know. But yeah, that's kind of all I know right now. So I'll update you as it develops. Today I wanted to talk about taxes. It is tax season, guys. Or, well, it might as well be, you know, everybody's starting to get their W-2s and their 1099s. And, you know, if you're self-employed like myself, have your own business or doing any sort of freelancing, you're going to get a 1099. If you were paid, you know, over $600. So I kind of wanted to give my experience with that, if anybody's interested. So basically back in, 2020, I was, just, you know, chugging right along, just doing the thing, getting production gigs, working on other bands, doing acoustic shows of my own, like solo stuff, laying the foundation for what you guys see today on the YouTube channel and, you know, all the things I'm doing there. You know, basically like setting up things that will generate me revenue aside from the band with Ballyhoo. I have to admit I was, you know, I guess blissfully ignorant to the tax man and sort of how all that worked. You know, at the time I was 39 years old and just taking money and, you know, paying for things, buying things, you know, feeding the beast. And I would kind of deal with taxes as it came, you know. And then once COVID dropped and like they started like deferring the tax day and all that, that was great. When they started pushing that. But yeah, summertime, I think it was July, I got the bill and it was $10,000. And that whole time I had been working on saving money, paying down my credit cards, getting my credit right, getting, you know, paying down loans, anything that I had. I've always been like not great with money. But you know, in the years prior, so like 2020, so you know, once we moved into this house in 2015, I really started like getting my shit together as far as like you know, paying rent, because the apartment before that, like, I had always struggled to pay rent, you know. Luckily, the band was really starting to pick up at that time, and by the time I was able to move into here, things were a little bit better off, you know. So I've never missed a payment, anything like that. But I wanted to start working on paying down my consumer debt and, you know, try to get a better credit score, things like that. And so, yeah, I'd saved up all this money and paid things down, which was great. But then when the tax bill came, $10,000, I was kind of freaking out. Now, luckily, I didn't spend all the money because I had started to save. I was able to pay the bill, but learned a hard lesson. And, you know, being self-employed, you got to pay, I think it's 15.3% self-employment tax. It ends up working out to be like anywhere from like 25 to 28, sometimes 30% of my income. I got to pay that to the government. And, you know, I never really paid attention before to the fact that billionaires aren't paying taxes, you know, and there's loopholes, and they're, what they're doing is perfectly legal, but it's so fucked up. You know, it's like those guys, these billionaires, a lot of them don't contribute to the, let's put the tinfoil hat on now. They don't contribute to the economy, you know, they just squirrel away their money and put things in overseas accounts and, you know, do whatever they can to avoid paying taxes. And okay, we all try to avoid paying taxes as much as possible. We try to write things off. I totally get that, you know. But man, even when they do pay taxes, they pay like less than what we pay. And we're you know, individuals that have small businesses and, you know, trying to get things off the ground and thrive. And I believe that, you know, a nation thrives when small businesses thrive, you know. The corporations are what they are, but you have to have small businesses, you know? So like we try to buy local whenever possible here, you know, kind of going off track here, but, I guess it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, we get haircuts at local barbers. We, you know, shop at local shops and, you know, hit the pizza joints and the restaurants and things. Try to spend locally, you know, contribute to the community that we live in, because we want to see it survive and thrive. And, you know, here we are just trying to live, just trying to make it, get things off the ground. And then we got to pay, you know, if I get $3,000 for a project, I got to pay $1,000 to the government. That leaves me $2,000, you know? And then if it's something that went through my team, I got to pay up commissions. And I'm not boohooing, you know, don't feel bad for me or anything, but I'm just saying what it is, you know. It gets, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit, you know. And I love what I do. It's amazing, you know. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's just, it sucks that when you work your ass off and then you got to pay a third of that, got to give it away. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out to be 30%. Sometimes it'll be less, like I said, but, and you may end up with a little extra money at the end, but, man, it's just, it's such a bummer sometimes. So like, basically, I kind of want to explain like how I do it, how I work, my tax situation. And it wasn't until 2020 that I started reading books on finance and like development, you know, self-development things, trying to be a better person, try to be better business, you know, finance, whatever. Once I paid that bill, I was like, okay, never again. And after I had paid that bill, I was back to zero pretty much, right? Minus like not including like my rent and stuff at the time. Luckily, I still had that. But so the bills were getting paid, but all that savings was gone. So it was all, but that was all on me. Like, I can't blame anybody. You know, sometimes I talk about like, I wish my parents would have told me about money. They never really gave me that info, and they didn't really have the info. My mom was a serial consumer. She bought lots of things. She loved nice things. She loved new clothes, you know, and I'm sure I got that from her a little bit. I love buying new clothes. I don't do as much as I used to. I'm more on shoes last couple of years, really getting into shoes. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, and then my dad struggled financially month to month, and it was like, you know, looking back, it's, oh my gosh, and anxiety, you know, thinking about his situation, like, he was getting paid less than what it, you know, well, what it costs to live basically for us. Like, I think he was getting paid like $900 a month from the government. They put him on disability because he drove tanks for almost 20 years for the government, and test drove tanks, and destroyed his neck and back over that time. Like, there were discs that were missing in his spine, from all the bouncing around and stuff. And he happily did it. I mean, he liked his job. He liked what he did. But it hurt him, you know? So they put him on disability, cut his pay to like a fraction of what he was getting paid. So, you know, $900 a month, our mortgage was seven something. I mean, we were poor. And like, I don't know how we got by. Like, I don't know how, you know, I got a job when I was 17. But even then, like, I was terrible with money as a teenager, you know? And then I turned 18. I bought this car, this Mustang, and got it repossessed within 2 years. Like, it's just terrible. Just bad. You know, I didn't have a good example, you know? And my dad was always writing letters to the government and writing letters to banks and, you know, pleading for more time and, you know, filing grievances and things. And it's just like, oh, man. And there's a time where you got to be like, yo, this is my own fault. This is my own doing. I can't blame anybody else for my troubles. And my dad tended to do that. He would try to, you know, put things on other entities, you know, when really it was his own, you know, laziness, ignorance that put him in those situations. My dad was a good guy. He had a great heart. You know, he spent more than he made, you know, to make people happy. He did whatever he could. He bought us a PlayStation in 97. You know, and like, our mom had just died that previous year, and I think, you know, it was a Christmas gift. Christmas 97, I think. And he wanted us to have things. And, you know, he went further into debt buying this thing. I know he bought it on credit, you know? And it's just like, looking back, like, I don't ever want to live like that. I don't, you know, my dad was in his 40s, when we had to move in with him after my mom died. And like, he just wasn't ready for it. You know, he was more like a buddy, you know, like, he was our dad, you know. But, oh man, he was great. He really was. But man, financially he struggled, and that kind of got passed down to me. I don't know how Donald feels about it, but, and our younger brother's doing great. Like, he's got a great engineering job, makes a lot of money, and good for him. I'm happy for him, you know. But Donald and I, you know, it's just kind of, we had that example. So I don't know. I don't know what Donald thinks, but for me, I was just really bad with money for years and years and years until, you know, kids got a little bigger. We moved in here in 2015, and I was like, okay, I really got to like make sure that I have the rent and things are paid for, and I'm not getting, you know, $35 fees at the bank for overdraft, and I got to get my credit score up, you know, fuck these credit cards, you know. So I worked on that, and after a while, it started happening. My credit score started going up, and I felt better about the situation. You know, I started getting more comfortable, not totally comfortable, but better than it was. But the tax thing, I never put anything aside. I just dealt with it when it came. And 2020 was the first time that I had ever had a tax bill like that. I just didn't see it. I didn't see it coming. I didn't realize how much money I was making. I wasn't tracking it. I was spending it as fast as I was making it. And just had no frame of reference, you know? So after that happened, I said never again. And I started reading books and watching YouTube videos about finance and taxes and things, self-employment. And I just started putting 30% aside. Every single time I get paid, I take 30% of it and I put it over here in a savings account. And I even highly recommend, and look, I guess I have to say, I am not a financial advisor. So don't listen to me. Go read some books, go watch some YouTube videos from real financial advisors. But this is what worked for me. I formed an LLC because of the amount of money I was making. And there's times when you should make an LLC. There's times when you shouldn't bother yet. It's only when you hit like a certain threshold of the money you're making. And I decided to form the LLC, open a business checking account. I went with Chase because I think it had the best features, and you know, they have a daily minimum of $2,000. You got to keep at least $2,000 a day in there. And I learned that the hard way too. I knew about it, but it's funny. I opened the account with like $100 just to get it open, and I was going to fund it later. And like a week in, I see a charge. They charged me that monthly maintenance fee for having less than $2,000 in the account. I was like, bro, I just opened this thing, man. Like, really? He's like, oh yeah, it's $2,000 daily. I was like, okay. I just like, come on. Like, I just got started, dude. You're going to make the Chase has already been making interest off of me for a couple, you know, a while now. Yeah. I guess about a year and a half now, ever since I got the credit card, you know. It's like, dude, come on. What is it like? I can't remember what the fee was, but it's probably like $15 or something like that, or $30, but whatever. Anyway, he gave it back to me. That was nice. So, had to make a point to keep $2,000 in the account every day. So, I have a $2,000 threshold. I can't go below that. It's got to be up here. So basically, my $2,000 is zero, you know, for me. So I got $2,000 I can't do anything with, but that's how business checking works. There's all these little quirks and little things that get you. Anyway, so other than that, great experience with Chase. So I got the checking and the savings, and I think the savings is free, but every single time I get paid, when the money goes in there, I take 30% of it, and I have a spreadsheet with basically a calculator. It's got formulas on it. So I just put in the total, you know, whatever it is, $100, $40, you know, whatever it breaks down to. I have different cells that show me what goes to taxes, what goes to my owner draw. Owner draw is like money you pay yourself from your business. There's the operating expenses. There's, I think that's it for the business side. Cause I have the personal side where I do the same thing. So like, you know, when I get paid a certain amount of money, like the owner draw that comes in there from my business, that money gets divvied up to taxes as well. Cause you got to pay taxes on the personal side. you know, my Roth IRA, money for Christmas, you know, there's all these percentages that break down, and I know exactly how much money goes where. So if I could offer any tip, you know, that right there just crushes. Like, that's exactly what it looks like. And I can adjust, you know, week to week, month to month, see what's working, what's not working. And I can change the percentages too. So if it's like, oh, this isn't enough money to operate, so I need to take this percentage up and then drop a percentage somewhere else, because, you know, it all goes up to 100%. And it's been awesome. It's been very cool. And I budget with YNAB, which is an awesome budgeting app. And, you know, you can debate all day long about spreadsheets versus no spreadsheets. You know, I want to live my life. I don't want to live inside the spreadsheet. That's fine. I think I need the spreadsheet. I need to budget. I need to have it. I need to see what my money looks like, because otherwise I'll spend the shit and I'll end up in consumer debt further and further. That said, it's also a part of behavior. I think it's 20% knowledge, 80% behavior is what I've heard, I believe, which is very true. I totally agree with that, because it's really like all about how you, you know, you can pay all your bills off, right? Let's say you just come into a bunch of money, you pay all your bills off. But then if you're the type of person that buys everything that you see, oh, new TV, oh, let's go out to dinner like 5 times a week. Oh, let's rent this movie. All those little things add up. It's behavior. It's like, you're just going to end up in the same situation you were in. So I try not to, you know, there's times now where I look at the budget and I'm like, all right, is it worth it? Do I want to spend this money, or do I want to save this for, you know, that future thing that we need, like a down payment on a new car, or, you know, Christmas gifts. Can I put it in the Christmas budget? Can I put it towards the beach trip, you know, for the summer? You know, you got to start thinking about that. And, you know, I didn't do the budget all last year because of the wedding. And I knew, I was like, I'm just going to go into debt again because of this wedding, and I'll pay it off eventually. But I can't deal with that right now because it's just too crazy. So I kind of put it off for all of last year. But at the end, from summer 2020 to the end, I was doing the budgeting and it worked. It was working really well. And, you know, there are times where you got to say no to your friends. You got to say like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We can't do that right now because, you know, we're trying to save money for, you know, whatever. And then I had to buy a fucking house. I had to buy this house that I'm living in. So that popped up out of nowhere, was not prepared, but, emergency fund. Okay. This started off about taxes, but now it's just going to be like financial things. Get an emergency fund. Try to put $1,000 in it. Fund up to $1,000 before you do anything else. Don't buy anything, whatever. Just have some money set aside for that car repair, that random thing that happens to your car. Seriously. And then if you can, keep going up. Like, just keep throwing money into it. Just forget about it. Put it in, like, I use Capital One for the savings there. And that's been great. And it's got a good APY on it. Look for high yield savings accounts. Online banks. Online banks are great. SoFi, Capital One, 360, Ally, Chime, all good banks online. No maintenance fees, things like that. Anyway, so 30% of my money every single time, no matter what I get paid, even if I get paid like $7 for something, you know, put it in a little spreadsheet, you know, whatever 30% of that is, because I don't do math, you put that aside. What is that like? Was that $2, something like that? Maybe put that in the tax savings account and just forget about it. So I started doing that in 2020. And when it came time a year ago for me to write the check for the IRS and the comptroller, I was ready. How did I get ready for it? After having spent 10 grand on the previous year, I had to go back and build it back up. I had to work my ass off. I started doing acoustic to private parties, taking on more projects. I had so many projects going on at one time. it was crazy. I wanted to rip my hair out some days. I was so busy, you know. Luckily, I did what I did, because in doing all that, I created more revenue. I generated more revenue by doing this, right? More revenue means more taxes. So by the time I did that, and this was to make up for like 9 months of not putting away. Okay. I had to write that check for 10 grand out of my savings to pay for those 2019 taxes. And then spent most of 2020 not putting away for taxes for that year. So I had to go make up for everything. So everything that I did, everything that I made went right into the savings account. I didn't spend it. It was like, it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that because you want things, you know? And if you're a person that doesn't want or need things, good for you. That's amazing. If you're like a minimalist type, man, I envy that. I really do. So yeah, we ended up, I wrote a giant check. The biggest check I've ever written. Partly I was proud of it because I'd never made that kind of money before. And I did it all because of my own thing. It was, you know, the things that I'm good at, singing songs and, you know, producing music. And that paid for that, you know, so that's great. It was definitely something to be proud of, but man, it was like, wow, I can't believe I gotta write a check for this much money and just give it away. You know, it's like, I notice potholes more when I'm driving. Like, bruh, you know? Oh, look how shitty this bridge is. You know, things like that. So I just want to say, if you're someone that's self-employed, if you're somebody that's out there working your butt off for something that you love, because you started that business because you love it, you know? You started that business because you're good at it. And, you know, I hope that you're doing well. But for these musicians out there and other creatives, you know, you don't have a brick and mortar, like you don't have a restaurant, you don't, you know, nothing like that. You're creating, you're drawing, you're painting, you're doing music, you know, doing a podcast, whatever, you know, anything like that. You have to make sure you're covering your ass with Uncle Sam. You've got to discipline yourself to create a savings account and take 30% of your money and put it away, because you're going to be locked in this cycle where tax season comes around again, you owe a couple grand or whatever it is, you don't have the money to cover it, so now you're making payments with interest to the government until the next year, and it just snowballs and snowballs, and I hate thinking about that. So never again. I will never again be in that situation. And I can't believe it took me this long to figure it out. But again, I didn't have anybody telling me anything. I didn't have anybody to give me that advice. Don't get it twisted. In the end, it's my own fault. It's my own doing or not doing for not knowing these things. You have to at some point be willing to seek out information. You got to educate yourself. A lot of people don't do that, you know? And I was one of them until a year and a half ago. And it's like, you can't have money just coming in and just spend it as fast as you make it. You know, there's got to be some kind of structure. If you're someone that can operate in some sort of organized chaos, which I do to a degree, that's great, but when it comes to your money, you got to pay attention. You got to know where everything is going. I suggest, you know, using an app called YNAB or some sort of a budgeting app. The way YNAB works is you put they say every job has a dollar, or every dollar has a job. Every dollar has a job, and you basically start with whatever's in your bank account right now, or whatever accounts you want to list. That's what's there. And that is the money you have to put it where it needs to go. So Netflix, rent, mortgage, car payment, fun money, you know, date night. You just allocate where the money goes, you know? And when you're down to zero on your, you know, the money that that's ready to assign, when you get to zero, that's it. That's all the money you have. Now you can move money around. You can move money around. You know, I'll do it daily. I'll go, you know what? I'm going to put some of this over here and this over there. Basically, it's like the envelope system. It's just digital and you can see everything. Paying credit cards off is awesome because it forces you to stay within, you can only spend what you have. So only what you allocate. So if you're like, if you're using like credit cards to get gas, to get the rewards, like the points, you could totally do that. But it only, if you've only allotted $100 that week or that month for gas, you can only spend $100. So like, let's say your gas is like $40 one day to fill it up, hopefully with these prices right now. You spend the $40. And then when you enter the transaction in the app or when you get home, whatever, on the laptop, it takes $40 out of that gas envelope or gas allotment and moves it to your credit card as like a potential payment. So it says, now you've got $40 available as a payment to pay, put towards the card. And it's rad because as you do that and keep doing it, keep spending your money, your available for payment goes up and up and up, and it's only the amount that you spent at the gas tank, at the gas pump. And then you're free to make that payment because you know the money's there. It's great. It's an awesome system, and I really, you know, anybody that's struggling with money and wants to get out of debt, like, you got to try this. But anyway, I'm not a financial advisor. Yeah, so to all my creatives out there, all my friends that are, you know, making money off of something that they love or something they're passionate about, something they're really good at as a small business, self-employed, gig worker, freelancer, just make sure you're putting aside 30% of your money. And it can be different for everybody. 30 is a little conservative maybe by a couple percent, but I'd rather have money left over than be freaking out, you know, when it's time. So, and then if you have money left over, you can just take that and apply it towards, you know, your credit card or whatever, or maybe give yourself a bonus. I'm going to go buy that PlayStation 5 if you can find one, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at. It's very much where I'm at. I don't like surprises financially. And I'm working every day to be in a better place and put myself on the path. I am on the path. I'm not putting myself on the path. I am on the path. I'm just trying to, you know, be financially sound. I want to get away from all this debt. I don't want to depend on credit companies. I want to use a credit card because I have the money to use a credit card to get those points, baby, you know, and pay that shit off every month. That's what I'm working on. When I buy a car, I want to buy that shit cash, you know, financial freedom. That's what I'm going for. And it'll happen. You have to be very patient. There's times where I'm like, what is the point of putting $3 in my Roth IRA? You know, what is the point of putting $3 towards, you know, a down payment on a car? But it does count. It all matters, you know. You just got to have patience. So, yeah, I guess that's it for today, man. I just wanted to chime in on that because I know people are starting to get their tax info back, and we'll be doing that very soon. I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope we're almost out of this pandemic. Numbers seem to be dropping around the country, which is great. Yeah, man, I'm hoping that we can do tours and not worry about them getting canceled. Anyway, Let me know what you guys are doing for your finances, man. How are you guys handling it? What's your favorite bank? What's your don't tell me about credit unions. My credit union does not like me from 20 years ago after the repossession. Yeah, but check out online banks. Look up high yield savings accounts, APY. Check out some budgeting apps. Check out YNAB. And 30%. Start there and then adjust as you go. All right, man. Well, that's it for the pod today. Make sure you subscribe. Please smash the like button if you're watching on YouTube right now. And you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening to Tales from the Green Room. And I look forward to seeing you guys on my weekly live stream. Check me out on Wednesday nights for Let's Hang Out, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Howie Spangler, where I'm streaming games, doing, you know, watching things, hanging out, whatever. It's all in an effort to, you know, interact with you guys and just kind of be happy with my life choices, my career path. Cool, man. Well, thank you guys. Talk to you soon. Peace out.